Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
God bless you guys. God bless the world, buddy. Let's go race.
This is the Loud Pedal Podcast. A very diverse cast of automobile racing characters.
Slider for the lead and the win. He tags the truck and drag race to the line. Who got it? Give it to Rico.
With your host, NBC Sports television analyst and part-time midget racer, it's D. Welch and Mr. Dylan Welch.
Yeah, you damn right I got time.
What happened out there?
Oh, that stupid-ass flagman. They got a dumb-ass flagman that can't see.
And an expert in only one category, food.
Yeah. Look how big those things are.
Little meat on the bone there.
And cook perfect.
Well, sometimes racing, but mostly food.
When you're talking a meal, like before I'm about to die, I will ask for 15 to 20 chicken wings.
It's Heavy Lunch, Tyler Burnett.
It's episode 112 of the Loud Pedal Podcast on Flow Racing. We are back. It's been about a month. D. Welch, I was doing the stats. We haven't recorded since January 24th, and there have been 14 USAC sprint car races since then, and 10 all-star races since then. So there's been a lot of shit that has gone on since we have last recorded. I was in the UK. I was in France. I was at a $1 million sprint car race. My brother-in-law got married. Like, it's just been
and
a
you
lot.
Got a haircut.
You got me a little
noticed.
In Terre Haute.
Looks good from the old average clips.
I was going to say, I went to the old average clips there in Terre Haute and got me a nice little cut during sprint week because it was hotter than balls outside. Like, I went to Indiana Sprint Week the last three races. I can't claim I went to the whole thing, but the last three races were soup weather.
I feel like it was hot everywhere. It's like it was hot at Sprint Week, it was hot at PDC where my wife was, it was hot in Richmond where I was. It was it felt like the end of July, that's for sure.
The PDC looked like it was spectacular, but
it's a late
I think it's hilarious that the late model guys just claim that they spend all this money, then their biggest race in the world is $50,000. Like,
I know.
How is it? Like, we pay more than that for almost all of our big races. Like, what does that mean? You know, I can't talk, but
I know. I kind of have always thought that too. Like, as big as that race supposedly is, and as big as it looks like it is, you know, it's kind of like, I think it supposedly has the feel of like the Knoxville Nationals because the whole town kind of gets involved.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it still only pays 50. So, which is hilarious that we're considering it only paying 50, but still.
Well, in this day and age, I mean,
yeah. I know, like, we're spoiled.
The Kings Royal pays 175 usually. Knoxville Nationals pays more than that now.
We just
had a $1 million sprint car race. We just gave out $2 million during the week of the Kings Royal at Eldora. So let's start with that first. So the million was a long time ago now, so we can just briefly recap it. I thought it was an awesome story. Logan Shewhart, Shark Racing, win the event. Track was super fast. Pace of the race was just, like Rico said, it was just, you know, out of control. It was so fast with how fast the surface was. But Logan had a really good car that I just don't think was going to be topped that night.
Yeah, I mean, he was good both nights, really, and just had the track position on Thursday to get it done. But yeah, I mean, it was, you know, we were both fortunate enough to be there and working, and just so cool to be involved in it. And then to have that story kind of come out of it, I think was just the icing on the cake. So it was really cool. And I love victory lanes where you can, you know, you really can see the emotion of guys, and we see it a lot at Eldora. You know, they have obviously some of the biggest races, and the emotion always comes through, I feel like, there. So, and it definitely did with Logan, you know, when he won that. So that was cool.
Yeah, he's a really good story. Obviously, the tweets started to come out from a lot of these guys just about how that team started, you know, small trailer, Pennsylvania, going up and down the roads, wanted to be Outlaws, became Outlaws, and now they're one of the best teams on the Outlaw Tour, right? They're a tremendous group, fun to watch, and now they're $1 million richer, and we have no idea if there's ever going to be another Sprint Car Million. That's the thing. Like, Logan Shewhart could be the, you know, the only winner of $1 million sprint car race for the rest of time, D. Welch.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, you look at the Mopar Million in 2003, which, you know, didn't obviously pay $1 million to the winner, but you know, at the time it was kind of like this was the, you know, one and done type thing. You know, there's never going to be anything like this ever again, and here we are, you know, 20 years later. So hopefully it doesn't take that long to have another race of that caliber. But you know, yeah, you gotta appreciate those type of races when they, you know, when they happen, and you know, those guys stepped up to the plate and got it done.
One of your jobs that you have is to be the voice of the High Limit Sprint Car Series, and since we have last recorded, we've only actually raced once, I think, with the High Limit Series, right?
We ran Grandview. And we ran Eagle. I can't remember, when did you say our last show was? The 14th?
June 24th. So
we've just run Grandview since then. Yeah,
so Grandview, that was a good race, right? Rico finally gets it done, beats Larson straight up, one of the fastest cars in the country right now. He just dominated Knoxville with the All-Stars. I would say, you know, we talked about Rico being a million favorite, and he finished on the podium there, so he definitely was a favorite going into that event, but he's a clear Knoxville Nationals favorite right now, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, especially after the week he had, you know, this past week, you know, he won Williams Grove with the Outlaws, and then you know, won at Grandview, and then he won at Knoxville, right, with the All Stars. So he's always good at those big, you know, sweeping fast racetracks like that. And I think with Ricky on the wrenches, you know, he's going to be good at Knoxville. So he's got all the momentum, that's for sure. You know, and I think, to your point, you know, winning a race like he did at Grandview, going heads up against Kyle, I think that has to give him some more confidence and just, you know, play to his favor that much more as we get ready to go kind of the next couple of weeks. I don't know if he's going to run Kokomo High Limit tomorrow. I'm assuming he is. He's second in points, but you know, you got that, and then you got the Ironman this weekend at Peevely, and then the Cappy, and then it's Knoxville week. So he's in a position to even win more races before we get to Knoxville, as good as he is at a couple of those racetracks. So, or both of those racetracks. So good time to be Rico right now, that's for sure.
Can he chase Kyle down in points? I mean, he's only 44 back in the High Limit Series, and I know Larson has been pretty dominant. He won three straight at one point. Yeah. But
I mean, if Kyle has a problem, if Kyle has a bad night and has something happen, and Rico can capitalize, I mean, I think it'll close. It's probably, I don't know what the math is. I mean, Kyle probably has like a race and a half buffer or something, maybe, because I think it's like 40 something points or whatever. So Kyle needs to probably have a bad night, because I don't think Rico's just going to beat him, you know, and just beat him bad enough for the next five races to close that points gap. But who knows, you know, anything can happen. So it's you know, we go to Kokomo and then to Husitz, and you know, those are both tracks Kyle's good at, obviously. So it's gonna be fun regardless. I think even if you know, Kyle keeps the points lead, I think the racing's still gonna be good because Rico will keep him honest for sure.
Yeah. Five races remaining in the high limit series schedule for 2023. You mentioned Kokomo, that's happening actually tomorrow. We're recording on Monday, July 31st. August 1st, Tuesday, is the Kokomo Speedway event. Don't miss it. You know, a rare opportunity for wing cars to race in Indianapolis. So that's good, obviously. Then Husitz, August 15th, Lernerville Speedway after that, Bridgeport, and then Lincoln Park Speedway to end the season. So that's kind of what High Limit has for the rest of the year. Let's get into our $100 Restoration Hat Shakes of the Week, brought to you by $100 Restoration. And we'll obviously dive into a lot of talk about the All-Stars and USAC as Richie Murray is getting ready to head in here, you know, to join his loud pedal segment, if you will. We talked about how the show's usually bi-weekly. Well, it's been a month since we've recorded. So it's been a busy, crazy summer. D Welch, do you have any hat shakes of mind? Who do you got?
I do. I'm going to give one to Daniel Whitley, my Chili Bowl teammate, because he almost had two wins this weekend with Power Eye or Extreme. Just missed the second night of a three race weekend that they had. Jade, you know, snuck by him like coming to the checkered, and then last night, wherever they were at, I guess that first one was at Atomic, and then wherever they were at last night, he got it done. So he's been fast. You know, the Abaca stuff, obviously, he's been really good with Logan Seavey on the USAC side. And Daniel was really fast at Chili Bowl, has been fast, you know, really everywhere he's gone this year with the Extreme stuff, and even the USAC side too. But it was cool to see him, you know, have a good couple runs and then, you know, put it all together to win, last night. So it was his first national win, and happy for him and happy for that group to be good, on the USAC side with Logan and, you know, also be front runners on the other side with the Extreme stuff too.
Yeah. That's good. I think he won at Brush Creek last night.
Yeah. They're at a bunch of racetracks I'd never even heard of. So
my buddy Max Stamball got his first win at Fremont. That's a good hat shake that I had to give out there. I think it was a GLSS sprints. So he's been racing at Fremont for a while.
Great Lake Super Sprint Series.
Yeah,
Great Lakes. Look at that.
he's been trying to win it. He's been trying to win there for a while. It's hard to not give one to Brady Bacon, who put together, yeah, you know, nearly one of the most perfect weeks you could put together. And actually, he still won the, you know, Sprint Week Championship. It rained the final night, but he actually was trying to win at Circle City and spun on the tires at the bottom of the racetrack. If he wouldn't have done that, if he wouldn't have spun out at Circle City, he would have cakewalked to the championship. That's how dominant his week was, but Brady Bacon is my hat shake. Congratulations to the Bacon Bits, Ciciana. It's a really a family team effort for a week like that, right? You race nearly, what was it? It was seven races, right? Because they ended up racing out the eighth, but it's usually eight races and nine nights, which is just not fun. Like, I'm telling you right now, it's 150 degrees, it feels like, every single day. These teams, you know, like Grant and Bacon, these guys who are running up front, and Blue, even, he built three cars this week. Like, and when you build cars, you're building them at 4 a.m. because you got to race the next day, right?
Yeah.
So it's not easy. So a hat shake to everyone who made it through the entire sprint week. My boy Travis Miller, who gave me a t-shirt, shout out. This is an Australian kid who came to sprint week because he's a huge fan of Flow and watching everything, all the streaming, our podcast, and he just like, I want to race sprint week. And he shipped an engine over. He bought a car from Bennick, and they built a car together. He ran the entire week. So he loved Terre Haute and Lawrenceburg, and now he's my buddy. So I wore your shirt, I promise. It's 3X. It's tiny. It's going to shrink once I put it in the washer. But I wore it before it shrunk. So Richie Murray's next. This is the Loud Pedal Podcast on Flow Racing.
AJ Foyt is one of the greatest race car drivers of all time. You name it, if he drove it, he won it.
He worked for everything he got, and he was tough.
He's flirted with death so many times. I told him, you ain't got 9 lives, you got 29 lives, which matched his car number as a rookie.
A bear hunting, a genius minded, a family loving man.
I don't care about talking about all that shit. World don't have to know everything about AJ.
He's all over the goddamn track. You don't know where the hell he's going.
No, that's just like anything. You got to crawl before you walk. And a lot of people look at racing very dangerous. I think racing is just as dangerous as you make it. If you want to be a fool, sooner or later it's going to catch up with you. And I think each individual's got their own way they gamble.
People got me figured a lot different. But I never pay no attention. I don't care what they say. They like me fine. If they don't, I don't give a crap. How long ago I had a lot of fun.
Welcome back to the Loud Pedal Podcast on Flow Racing. We mentioned all things USAC. Richie Murray is your guy. He comes on the show bi-weekly now that we talk about the Loud Pedal Podcast. And Richie, I was telling D Welch, since we've recorded on June 24th, there have been 14 USAC sprint car races since then. That's, you guys have not stopped racing.
Yes, it's been a whirlwind. I was going through all the races last night, and at the beginning of this whole streak, we started a Silver Crown race at Winchester, which seems like it happened about 4 years ago, but apparently it was last week, about 10 days ago. It's been a whirlwind, not a lot of sleep, but a lot of heat and a lot of good racing. So there's a lot to catch up on. Apparently
was last week as hot as Tyler has been complaining about all morning. That's all he's talked about, is how hot it was.
Luckily it had intermittent rain there. You know, me and Tyler stood in the rain at Putnamville, walked around. So I think that helped cool things off a little bit from time to time. So I think we had rain effect some way, I think 5 of the events. So we had a good string there, but we got 4 of them in. And then until the last one, that didn't work out so well.
I swear, Indiana is the new Florida when it comes to every single night it's going to rain.
Are you kidding me? You lived in Charlotte for like 6 years. Well, Charlotte is 20 times worse than that.
I mean, yeah, it's the humidity levels, right? But like, you're sitting at Lincoln Park, there's no rain in this entire state of Indiana besides this little blob over the racetrack that will just sit there for an hour. Like, where there's no other rain on the forecast and it just rains. Like, so we had that late night, and then what I can describe the last night at Hotstop was a tropical storm that hit the Midwest. Like, it was one of the biggest thunderstorms I have been a part of in a while. I had to go seek shelter. I was like, Richie, I'm not staying at the racetrack. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it's never a good sound when you hear tornado sirens at the racetrack, but batting the hatches. You just, and I've never seen anything quite like it, because it was like just a little after 7, maybe before 7. And you saw the dark rolling. It looked like it was about 1 in the morning. It was so dark, and then the light never came back. We were done by 8:30. You know, it's still sunlight in most days. And then it was completely dark. Never came back. I don't know if I ever seen anything quite like that. Usually the light comes back a little bit, but yeah, we had a new lake in the middle of the infield. So, you know, probably people were complaining that we should have run that in, that the track should have run that in and got everything going. But
of course,
we'd probably still be here drying it out though.
Well, what did you make it? Not that we can't talk about the weather forever, but maybe we should talk about the on-track stuff. What do you think of Brady's week? You know, he wins the championship and didn't win a race during sprint week, but we've seen that happen before, right? Consistency during that week is always king, and that's the most important thing, and that's why Brady is in the position he was in.
Yeah, it's kind of like nickel and dime them, but he can do that all day, just running the top 5, and while others hit misfortune and have something happen. I had it put to me by Dean Mills. Like, he's just like a cat. No matter where you throw him, he just seems laying on his feet. And it was kind of true this whole sprint week, as we go back to Lawrenceburg in the third race of the week, where he qualifies third, but he goes off the track. Something fell off the car. Still not exactly sure what it was, but came back to the scales and was underweight. And for a lot of people, that can ruin the entire night, because you have to start at the back of everything. He had to start at the tail of his heat, but he came up all the way through and finished in the transfer spot. Then in the feature, he had to start 22nd. And with all the crazy carnage that was going on in front of him, he avoided it all and raced all the way up to third in the finish line. So Justin Grant won that night. That was his biggest challenge, and he still managed a third. And then you go to Terre Haute, which I'm not sure how many people got to see it live, but he was all the way about 80% flipped over. He was on the right front going through turns one and two, just teetering. And I think our race director, Kirk Spridgen, was pretty much almost all the way on the ready to call a red flag. It was that close. But somehow he landed back down, and he fell from third to eighth with five laps to go. And it's another race that Justin Grant won. But Brady Bacon managed to, in the last five laps, came from eighth to fourth and kind of salvaged. Heck, that's four spots. That's 12 points. And he won the championship by eight. So just that little bit right there. And you can go through the whole week and just every little thing. Even talked about his on Friday night after Bloomington, the merchandise trailer dislodged from the hitch and fell down the hill. Well, it didn't fall down the hill. It just rolled, and it didn't hit anything. And I what I've heard is just nothing even inside fell over. Just everything stayed in place. And they're able to gather it up and carry on to the next track. It's just like every little instance of misfortune, they were able to somehow overcome. And like Dino said, he landed on his feet every time. It's pretty amazing.
I forgot to tell you about that, D. Welch. So I guess the story, or the legend, if you will, now is that KT was holding on to it while it was heading downhill.
He was trying to stop it.
Yeah. he didn't, obviously.
Yeah. He's not, KT is not that strong.
But it ended up down the hill, and I was talking to Brady. He said no damage. So everything in it was fine, but it did roll down the hill, free falling, if you will, Tom Petty style. You didn't talk about Circle City too. Going for the win there, and he spun out, right? Like, this week could have been a little bit easier. He made it hard on himself, but he still wins the championship. You know, we talked about last year, he probably could have won two sprint weeks in a row if he didn't have the engine problem at Lincoln Park, right? He's just been really, really good recently.
Yeah, I mean, he's managed to make a career out of that. I mean, he wins, obviously, he's won 51 races to this point in his USAC sprint car career, but his just ability to just top five every night after night after night after night. I mean, that translates to championships, and he's been able to do that four times. And you've seen guys, you know, get flustered, and, you know, you go back to, you know, when he flew out of the ballpark at Terre Haute, and years past, he's been able to get another car together and go out and, you know, just finish in the top five, finish on the podium. It's incredible. I think we're seeing something pretty special throughout this whole career, that the ability to be able to do that, because it's not easy. And you mentioned Circle City. That was one of the rare, very rare missteps, because he just clipped an infield tire and spun out. And then, you know, just a handful of laps to go, eight to go when that happened. And he wasn't able to get back. But, you know, as luck or whatever would have it, it was also Justin Grant's off night. He finished 11th. So just when he has those bad nights, somebody else is able to have a bad night, I guess, with them. And you know, it all evens out and Brady's able to be on top no matter what. And kudos to him. He's always able to be in position to pounce because you got to be capitalizing those deals to be in position to pounce at the end. And he's always in position to win a championship, whether it's, you know, sprint week, Eastern Storm, or the overall championship. He's always in the hunt and he's always a contender and he's always in the spot to win it.
Richie, you've watched USAC racing for a long time and, you know, obviously are, you know, incredibly knowledgeable about the history of the sport and the drivers and the legends of this sport. And Brady, I feel like, you know, continues to do things that elevate him to that status, right? But he also is so just like modest and so just under the radar, I feel like, about everything. Just, and even under the radar in the sense of like his legend status, right? Like, you know, you think of these great sprint car drivers, and I feel like Brady is considered that, but he's not, like, you know what I mean? Like, considered to be one of the all-time greats, but like the numbers are proving that he is, I think. I mean, do you agree with that? That he's kind of cementing himself as like a future Hall of Famer here with some of the stuff he's doing?
Oh yeah. I think he's already done way more than enough to be a Hall of Famer for sure. And, but yeah, he's just, I mean, his whole personality is kind of, you know, how he is in a race car. Just everything's okay. Everything will be okay. Just kind of calm. He's not going to be, you know, throwing shade on the microphone too much, even though we saw a little bit of it earlier this week. But he kind of got poked into that situation and responded. But with Baloo at Gas City. Throwing elbows, as Baloo said that Bacon does. So
I was going to say, had it been Baloo, because we had the whole Baloo dozer thing going into the SmackDown last year, remember? The way that Brady does it, he's just funny. Like you know, he's just kind of like a little kind of quirky. I mean, most of the race car drivers are quirky, but, you know, when he throws shade at you, like, you're going to feel it because he does it with such a quick impact, but he also makes it hilarious.
Yeah, that's one of those things. If you feel like if you are doing that stuff all the time, you know, it can get ignored and people roll their eyes at it. But when somebody like Brady does it, they're like, oh, okay. Well, this is serious because he doesn't do this very often. So you kind of stand up and take notice.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a hilarious guy. Let's recap just a little bit about, you know, of what happened during sprint week, right? So we talked about the final night, which has a precedent. I think Clawson in 2013 won a championship from Rain, and there had been a few others, but Hobsaw has rained out in the past and a champion has been crowned. But the week started off at Gas City. Justin Grant won. He had a really good week. He ended up winning at Lawrenceburg Speedway 2 and also Terre Haute. Then at Kokomo Speedway, CJ Leary took out a car that they had in the rafters for a little bit, you know, from the Leary team. They're obviously running with Carson Garrett's family now, but they took a car out, rebuilt it after a crash the night before, and ended up winning at Kokomo Speedway, which was a big win for them. Kyle Cummins won at Circle City Raceway. Emerson Axum, you know, got one at Bloomington, which was an emotional one because he was pretty upset about the way he ran the night before at Lincoln Park Speedway, where Jake Swanson won. Just a bunch of different winners besides, obviously, Grant winning three of them. Richie, it was a good week for you guys, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned, like, Leary and Jake Swanson. They kind of had this somewhat similar story. Like, the night before at Gas City, CJ Leary had destroyed his car in a wreck while running fifth or sixth in the feature, and then had to go and get an emergency car down from the rafters. It had the old, the Leary colors from the year 2020 on it, and didn't change out the sponsors to the new ones, just a new 15X tail tank on it, and put it right in victory lane the first night out in that car. And then Jake Swanson he led some laps at Terre Haute and had fallen back to third and kind of got tripped up on the cushion and ended up destroying that car. And then the team had to pretty much build a new car for Thursday for Lincoln Park, came right back out and won, that's pretty impressive to do in any manner. Especially in sprint week with as crazy as it gets, but just the perseverance of those two teams to put all that together. And then Emerson Axum, obviously a very, very disappointed deal from Putnamville when he had an incident in his heat race, got spun out, then didn't transfer through the semi. And he took a provisional, but through sprint week, you don't, if you have to take a provisional, you don't earn sprint week points. You get points for the national championship, but no sprint week points. And he came into that, came into Putnamville just 23 points out of the sprint week lead and in third place, and came out like 60, 70 points behind, back in fifth, which effectively ended his sprint week chances. So, you know, I know he really wanted to win that. He won Eastern Storm earlier this year, a similar week out in the East Coast, but, you know, it could have been his, maybe, maybe not, but it kind of has lost his chance there. And but he responded by winning, and that was a big win for that team at Bloomington. And then Kyle Cummins winning at Circle City. He's the, I guess he's now the king of Circle City, just like people consider him Hubstein. He's the only multi-time USAC winner there now. So, and that was kind of cool with, you know, a new, a guy not many people have heard of named Xavier Doney led a bunch of that race and led 17 of the 30 laps, and Cummins had to get by him, and Doney raced him back, passed him back, and it was quite a battle between those two. And that's another part of the story, is some of the guys who stepped up and made some names for themselves this week.
Yeah.
Speaking of crashed cars, the Robert Ballou crash at the end of the race at Terre Haute. Did anything ever come out about what happened there and what broke on the car? If it did, I missed it, but that was obviously a super frightening situation too.
Yeah, I think it was like they said something, then the steering broke and it like cut the brake line at the same time. So no steering and no brakes at the same time, is
that's not a good combination.
That's quite a harrowing situation. Yeah, and there's nowhere to go. And I mean, luckily for everybody, especially everybody standing right there against the wall, that car didn't get over the wall, and you know, everybody was able to move on. But there, I know there were some people that saw their life flash before their eyes in that situation. So thankfully everybody was okay. And I couldn't see the start of it because I was in the corner of the tower in the infield, but I heard everybody yelling, screaming. Oh boy. No, you don't usually see something at the end like that. Usually it's over. Yeah. And I think the only time I remember anything like that was, I think Aaron Farney crashed after the checkered flag in kind of similar fashion, but just thankful everybody's okay on that one. That could have been a lot worse than it ended up being, so we're fortunate.
Yeah, that one hit kind of close to home, just because we're such good friends with all those photographers, and there were a lot of shook photographers the next day at Lincoln Park Speedway when I walked into that racetrack. I mean, yeah, a lot of them didn't sleep. I mean, because you just think about that, D. Welch. I mean, just how close that is. And honestly,
oh, like, I know.
When I'm shooting video, like, I'm thinking about it all of the time. Like, you know, we stand in some sketchy spots to get some of the shots that we get. And I'm definitely going to be more cognizant of it for sure. You know, Ballou felt, you know, terrible, but you know, he lost steering, like Richie said, in the brake line at the exact same time. And he wasn't even going full speed when he hit the wall, which is, you know, he's out of the gas, right? Like, you know, he said he was out of the gas off of four, basically, is when it you know, went from him. So, yeah, it was interesting, but that wall did its job. Holy crap. Like, a little concrete wall like that holding a sprint car coming that fast at it is pretty remarkable. But yeah, just a wild sprint week. You know, I feel bad for Mitchell Moles. I mean, he had a tough week. Like, he won at Macon, and then all week it seemed like he was just getting into something. And then Ballou built three cars this week too. Like, it's just the grind of that week, Richie. It's not for the faint of heart.
No, we always talk about, like, if you can make it through sprint week, not even drivers, just officials too. If you can make it through that week, you kind of earn your stripes. And it's like it's hot. It's just night after night. You have like, you know, being up till after midnight and waking up basically as the sun rises over and over. You get pretty tired. You get pretty ornery, and then you're not eating the greatest type of food. Not exactly eating apples and grapes and stuff. Although you try to, but it's just everything is kind of spiraling. You just have to manage it. So it's a lot of eye strain on me and a lot of strain on the teams just to make it to the end. And you know, we always say, like, if you make it through this successfully, if you're at the front of the points, like, you're a championship contender. You've made it through the toughest stretch of the season. You know, the rest of it's relatively, quote unquote, easy from here. But yeah, but if you have trouble, and you know it's natural to get upset when things are going wrong, and you know, it can easily spiral out of control if you're if things go wrong night after night, and you know, you gotta somehow make it happen. But it can be tough. It's tough on everybody, and you know, you love it, but you don't want to see it to end at one point, and then on one hand, but at the other time you're okay with it being over. It's like, well, that was fun. So you look back on it and remember all the good times that we had, and all the tiredness goes away. So another successful sprint week in the books, and here we go on to the rest of the season.
I love it on the couch. Like, that's why I love watching.
Yeah. I remember being as a fan, it was a lot less stressful just going to all these races. I thought that was tiring. And I was in bed by midnight.
Things sure have changed.
Yeah.
I know, right? You mentioned the points. I do want to preview SmackDown before you go. I know we've held you quite a bit. There's a lot to talk about. But Bacon leads the points. You know, we mentioned he won sprint week, but right now he leads the national points over Emerson Axon by 19. Grant has kind of chopped into it here a bit. He's only 23 back now. So this is going to be a very nice championship heading into your guys' arguably biggest sprint car weekend at Kokomo Speedway coming up in mid-August. It's just, you know, this like, these three guys are going to race for this championship, and it's going to come right down to the end.
Yeah. And like we said, you know, this is one of the closest races ever. You know, you got those three guys separated so close, and you got Grant and Bacon are no surprise. They're being up there. They're the last two champions, and you know, they're definitely going to be up there. Grant, Bacon, like we said, is going to top five. And we'll see if he can continue that. You know, Grant's been excellent at Kokomo. And it's funny, crazy enough, like, Brady Bacon has never won a USAC race at Kokomo. USAC sprint car race. He won his first midget race at Kokomo back in 06, but he's never won a USAC sprint car race there, which is crazy. And probably even crazier, the Hoffmans have never won a USAC sprint car race at Kokomo, which is astonishing. But we feel like those are going to change at some point. But during sprint week, when Bacon finished second at Kokomo, that was his eighth runner-up finish, which, like, man, they're going to win at some point, right? But you never know in these things. And Justin Grant's had been great at Kokomo. And, you know, Emerson Axum, this is his second full year in this deal, but he's really turned up the notch this year, and he's been in contention. He's led the points a bunch this year. You know, it's just, you know, we talk about sprint week when there's just, you know, if you have one bad night like Axum had, it can be so costly. And it's the same for any three of these guys. If you have one bad night and everybody else is picking off podiums and top fives, it's going to be hard to overcome. So you almost have to be perfect. And, these guys have been the most consistent all year and among the winningest. And it's going to be a war every night for the rest of the season. And we get my sleep and crunching these numbers, right? So we'll have the one of the finest races we'll ever see down to the stretch, down to the finale, down to Red Dirt in Oklahoma at the end of October.
Sounds like Janet is barking at the Welch household. August 24th, August 25th, August 26th, three straight nights, Kokomo Sprint Car Smackdown coming up for the USAC National Sprint Car Series. They get a
30,000 to win.
30,000 to win the final night. They get a much needed break. You mentioned the guys who have been dominant. Last year, Kyle Cummins was dominant. He led every single lap of it. How much money did he win, Richie?
Oh, it was, I think it was about 30,000, but that was with, I think, a $20,000 base plus all the lap money that was put in. And now it's 30,000 plus the lap money. So I think with everything all considered, heck, the guy could walk out of there with about $50,000 this year. Wow. So
it's awesome.
There's a lot of money up
as much as the PDC.
It'll be a better race classic. Too.
Yeah.
It'd be a better race too. Although this year the PDC was okay, but it's not SmackDown.
But it's all, the SmackDown is part of the DOS Energy Drink Hoosier Trifecta deal that's this year, where, you know, like the SmackDown is 30,000 to win on the final night. The Hopstop Hustler at Tri-State is 20,000 to win coming up in September. And in October, the Fall Nationals is 20,000 to win. So if you win all three of those, you can trying to do my math here in my head, you get an extra bonus of like $30,000 if you can win all three. So you'd win $100,000 if you could win all three of those, which, I think Kyle Cummins would have been in position to do that last year. So I think he was first, and second in those three races last year, I believe. So, he's one to watch to be able to see if he can do that. So, lots of exciting stuff coming up and lots of money being thrown about.
Sounds like it. Sounds like a lot of money. And then, of course, the BC 39, September 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, the dirt track at IMS. You don't want to miss that. A bunch of races coming up. The next one, I believe, is Toledo Speedway for the Silver Crown Series, right? August 5th?
Yep, this Saturday at Toledo Speedway. Yep.
One of my home tracks, even though I have like 20 of them.
You're like the Martin Truex Jr. of dirt racing.
Well, when you live in Northwest Ohio, like, you can drive to Gas City in an hour and a half. You know, Fremont, Attica, Waynesfield, Eldora, Toledo Speedway, Columbus Speedway. It was the place to grow up, bud. I'm telling you.
I guess.
Richie's like, we got way more tracks than where I'm at.
Hey, I grew up 5 minutes from the Indianapolis Speedrome. went there about five times in my life. We had so many options. So it's fun being in Central Indiana. You get everything about an hour and a half from you, except for Tri-State Speedway. It's the only one that's a little bit out of the way. So
seven hours from everything.
That's right. That's what it feels like. 7 hours from Texas and 7 hours from Central Indiana. Pretty amazing.
That's what it feels like.
All right. What's your stat, that your wow stat for us before you get out of here?
Oh, man. Well, one thing we failed to mention this whole week is Shane Cottle, which he didn't win anything. He didn't win any races, didn't do anything to stand on top of the podium, but his performance in passing was unbelievable. So through the we raced seven starts, he passed a total of 82 cars and combined through the heats, the semis, and the feature. He was starting in the back pretty much every night, and every single night he moved forward by a bunch. And so 82 passes for Shane Cottle. The second most throughout the week was Brady Bacon with 49.
Wow.
So 33 more passes Shane Cottle made than anybody else, which, that's unreal.
That just means he was qualifying terrible.
That's right? What he said. Yes. Jeez. A terrible qualifier. And it was just a hard, he was hard charger five out of the seven nights in the feature alone.
Yeah.
And the all along, I think the funniest part of it is he didn't plan on going to Tri-State. They went to, for the finale, they went to Paragon instead, which ran while Tri-State got rained out. And he was eighth in the Sprint Week points, which Sprint Week pays out eight drivers. So he was eighth in points. And they went the hard charger and all that stuff. So he went to Paragon and apparently passed a bunch more cars there too to finish up front, crazy enough. So he went to the track that ran, and he made some money there. And he didn't run at Tri-State, yet still made $1,500 from Tri-State for his passing master and his point money from Sprint Week. So he just got double the fun there. It's just everything came up Shane Cottle this past week.
The Cottle found the we always talk about he found the fountain of youth, but we're going to run out of it after we've talked about that for 10 years now. It's crazy. Richie, thanks for coming on the show, man. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you, and get some time off here. You guys got, you know, I know you have to race on the 5th, but just relax a little bit, man. It's been a crazy week.
Yep. Try my best to, but it's back on the horse here soon. Back to Toledo. Back to racing. But yeah, take it a little bit easy for a couple days at least.
Welcome back to the Loud Pedal Podcast on Flow Racing. We promised you Blakey, the birthday boy, Blake Anderson, is here. Blake, you're looking good, Blake. It looks like you look like you got shaved up for us this morning, ready to go. You know, you're rolled right out of bed and came on.
Yeah, I'm back home in Iowa, so it's only 9:30, so I got up early for you guys.
Wow, it's dedication.
I know.
How old are you now? You're pretty 34. Young, aren't you?
I would. I know.
You can run for president next year as Richie.
One more year. Yeah, we were just talking about that earlier.
Look out. President Blake.
I just run next year.
Yeah, just for fun. Yeah.
I guess I was talking about in the opening segment with Richie that they've attempted to race 14 USAC sprint car races since we recorded our last show. Now, they had some rainouts and stuff in there. You guys have attempted 10 all-star races since we've had our last show, so we've been a little busy. This summer, Blake, you know, with the million. I went to Europe, you know, the UK, so it's just been wild. What has happened? I mean, you know, obviously one of the biggest stories of the year so far has been the injury of Tyler Courtney, and we hope that Sunshine gets better. Zeb and both Zeb and Sunshine actually got injured at Eldora this year. And both in non-all-star sanctioned races, which is wild. But, you know, Courtney's happening during the Kings Royal Week, and then Zeb's happening during Let's Race 2. Zeb has rebounded, though, and has been way faster since his crash. Yeah. I mean, I told him, I'm like, you should just start crashing, and then, because then you just get faster every time you crash. So, Courtney's, team Clawson Marshall Racing is now 8 points back in the season point standing. Zeb has really put together an impressive summer so far.
Yeah, Zeb's been super fast. I feel like just consistent. He had a streak there coming into this past weekend where it was like he had 4 straight podiums, 5 straight top fives. He was in the top 10 every night, and then had a little bit of a rough couple nights, but bounced back okay. Had to take a provisional on Saturday at Knoxville and got up to 12th. So it found some speed there, which I think is encouraging for Zeb to be fast at Knoxville because he's always struggled there. We've had 3 All-Stars appearances there. He was 20th in 2020 and then missed the show the last 2 seasons. Got to use a provisional on Saturday night, and I think they maybe found something. They hit on something. So I bet Zeb's maybe feeling a little bit better now about the Knoxville Nationals coming up. But I think that's been the big storyline since we last talked to you guys, is obviously Tyler Courtney getting injured, Anthony Macri going in the car. And it's a tough situation for Anthony to just get in there and get in a car that you've never ran before, motor and chassis combination that you've never run before, and be fast right away like that. Is, I don't think people understand how tough that is. And Anthony hasn't been bad at all. I mean, was very strong at Knoxville on Saturday night. And some of these racetracks that we were going to are, they're short tracks, and Anthony's good on the big tracks. So I'm interested to see, you know, how they can progress the next couple of weeks and when Sunshine gets back. I think he's hoping to be back relative in the near future, pending obviously some doctor's appointments. You never know what's going to happen there. But Zeb, the story, and then obviously then this morning, I don't even know, in the last half hour, the news bomb drops that Brian Grove Racing has let go of Tim Schaefer, which really kind of surprised me. They're fifth in all-star owner points. They've got a win this year. So I don't know what direction the 45 car heads now. That'll be interesting.
What do you make of this ride shuffling that's been going on this year? Like, it's, I mean, I haven't been as embedded in the sprint car stuff as you guys have even the last couple of years, but it's like, I don't ever remember a season like this where there's been so many guys that have been moving around mid season. Like, it's, is it, what do you think, Blake? I mean, what's your opinion of it? Is it performance based stuff? I mean, sometimes there's injuries and that sort of thing, obviously, but like, it's bizarre, isn't it, that there's been so much of that going on?
Yeah, it really has surprised me. It's interesting how much of it's been happening. That's the thing that's most shocking to me. And I think some of these bombs that have dropped, obviously Macri out of his family car, Lance out of the 69K, those kinds of things did not see coming. And then, as you mentioned, Dylan, I feel like it's happened earlier than ever. I mean, we had ride swapping going on in May, that usually those kind of happen now leading into the Nationals, which is always interesting to me that it happens leading into the Nationals, being that, you know, that's kind of the biggest race of our season. You're going into the Knoxville Nationals with a fresh combination with relatively no seat time. I feel like maybe not setting yourself up for the most success. I always kind of felt like if you're going to part with someone, maybe after the Knoxville Nationals is the time to do it.
Yeah, Schaefer ain't bad at Knoxville, which is wild. But it is going to be interesting to see what happens with some of these guys. You got to think maybe that Grove team sees maybe has had conversations with a future talent, right, that they could potentially bring in and run for the future. I know Schaefer, though he has been really, really good, I would say he's, you know, towards the twilight of his career here at the end, right? You know, but I just don't think that you can make that move when you're fifth in owner points. You can make money. And Schaefer has been running the way he's been running and going to a track that he's good at. But we'll see what happens. You know, this has been one of the craziest all-star year, right, so far, but just the craziest year in sprint car racing in general with this stuff, right?
100%. This has been the wildest year in our nine seasons of being part of the all-stars, especially, you know, you look at even Vermeer. I mean, Carey's hopped in the Vermeer car and has been in the top 10 pretty consistently every night. And Hunter was right there in owner points and he lost his ride. It's just, it's been chaos. It really has. And it's been interesting. And we've had some unique driver combinations. I'm excited to see, you know, kind of what happens out in Central PA. You know, what does Macri do the rest of the season? What does the 69K do beyond the Port Royal races? They said they'd have a driver announcement for the National Open, you know. It's been, where does, say, Sunshine's back in a month? Where does Anthony Macri go next? What's his career look like moving forward? You know, I don't know. Boy, it's very interesting. And I think, you know, the coming months of sprint car racing, August and September, are going to be very, very interesting to see what drivers land where. Do they find a permanent home for 2024 and beyond?
So you're a Knoxville guy, and I want to get your thoughts on this with it looming. Who are the favorites for the Nationals? Who's on your radar as guys that you think are favorites to go there? And maybe we should do it, guys that maybe aren't the typical guys that you would expect to go there and run well and have a shot.
I mean, I think that a Logan Schuchart has to be on the radar. They ran very strong last year. The last couple of years, Shark Racing has been very fast there. David Gravel he's kind of obvious, obviously. David Gravel and Brad Sweet are the two ones that kind of are obvious. And then you've got, you know, Kyle Larson will be there. He's always entertaining at Knoxville. And I think Donnie Schatz can be a contender at Knoxville too. Obviously won it last year. Hasn't had the strongest year. Won the Kings Royal, but has kind of been up and down. But Knoxville is a place where Donnie goes and the light switch is always on. He's always fast there. A lot of motor comes into play there. Can a guy like Rico, you know, can he contend? He obviously beat us on Saturday night. Can Rico contend for 50 laps and win the biggest race of his career? I think that Rico, he's knocked on the door of one of these crown jewel wins. Eventually, you have to think that he knocks the door down and wins one in a sprint car. Obviously, has multiple chili bowls. But can Rico do it? I think that would be an insanely popular win. And then you look, Brian Brown. Brown's as fast as we've seen him in almost a decade at Knoxville consistently. Like, it is game on every Saturday night when Brown's there. He beat the Outlaws in June. It's almost reminiscent back to 2013, 2014, when it's like, man, if Brian Brown wins the Nationals, I don't know if it's an upset. And I think we're kind of back to that Brian Brown speed.
Yeah. I think Brian Brown's got a little bit of fire under him. Yeah. You know, he was a little, I'll be candid with this. I thought it was hilarious, but, he was a little upset with us because we didn't mention him much ahead of the million as one of the favorites going into the million. Right. And he's like, I got to make my own noise. That's what he said. I was like, I'm a bigger fan now that you said that to me, because that is hilarious. But he's really fast right now and really good at Knoxville. And I love that team. I love Casey's Pizza too. Dude,
I've kicked his pizza.
I'm telling you right now, pizza is the best gas station pizza you can get. It's incredible. I mean,
it's just good pizza in general.
Dude, it's
I'm trying to slander it.
But Brian Brown's funny. He's really funny. I think he was a favorite going into the million. You know, he was a top 10, 15 car in my eyes. Yep. I think he's a top 5 car at Knoxville.
100% agree. And then there's always the unique storylines, like last year, Tasker Phillips makes the A-Main. Is that, do we have another Cinderella story like that where a guy makes the A-Main, that just making the A-Main is a win for them? And obviously this year, the ante's up a little bit because the Knoxville Nationals went from 10 grand to start to 15 grand to take the green flag, the A-Main.
That's just crazy. I mean, Justin Henderson had a good run the other night.
Yeah, he was
someone
very
like that
strong.
Can sneak in, right? Like, you know, the McCarl kid. He was Austin. Good last year, right, at Knoxville?
Yep. And Austin's leading points right now.
He could be a guy that, I mean, you don't necessarily see too many surprise winners, right? You know, with Larson and Schatz and these guys winning it. You know, you have seen the Jason Johnsons win that thing, you know, which is not necessarily a surprise. He was an outlaw, full-time guy, fast car, but
before that, it was probably Bobby Allen in 1990 that was the last quote-unquote surprise.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be fun. That's a fun week. Are you staying out there? Hang out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm at my parents now. And
you won't miss it, right?
It's favorite race of the year. Best week of the year.
Yep. So that's how I feel about Eldora. Just, you know, Kings Royal, my home week, you know, just see all my friends and family. But I think Dylan's got to get out of here. You guys are obviously taking a big break, you know, for the Knoxville Nationals and everything else is going on, and you guys get back to your points championship. I do want to talk about one thing before you get out here though, Blake. I didn't really realize this until now. You guys are actually ending your championship at Eldora during the Ford Crown, which it has ended at Fremont in the past with the Jim and Joanne Ford Classic. Now it's going to end at the Ford Crown. That's huge, not only for you guys, but also for Eldora, because they got the Dirt Track World Championship now, you know, so they got two championships ending there for some of the biggest series. I mean, that's a big deal for you guys and the track, I think.
With the shifting around of the Dirt Classic going to the beginning of September, that opened up the traditional weekend for the Jim and Joanne Ford Classic. So we bumped that back from October up into its traditional weekend in mid-September and thought, you know, the weather in October has been, last year, 2 years ago, it was beautiful at the Ford. Last year, it was freezing at the Ford. So I thought, you know what, let's just end in September, not mess with the weather in October. That it's kind of a roll of the dice whether you get nice weather or cold weather. And no better place than Eldora, obviously, with Tony owning the series. Let's end it at the Four Crown Nationals on a bang. The only thing that stinks there is Four Crown is always kind of a traditionally late night because we have so much racing to pack in. Even with bumping some of the timing of the midgets and Silver Crown cars a day forward, when we've got four divisions of well over 100 sprint cars, it makes for a long night of sprint car racing. But still, I think that's the very appropriate place to end our series is you know, indoor series season, it's right there at Eldora Speedway.
Yep. And you guys have the Tuscarora 50 coming up as well. 55 grand to win on September 9th. We'll preview that on our next show. Looks like we got some time for that. So,
are you going to be there this year?
Of course I'm going to be there. We already got our Airbnb and everything. Me and Brandon Paul.
Have your Chevy Spark running?
I don't miss the Tuscarora 50. That's a really, really cool event, dude. That's one of my favorite events of the year, for sure.
You have your Chevy Spark booked for your rental car?
I'm getting a better rental car than that this year. I'm like pretty much the mayor of National in Kalamazoo. So like I have like emerald status or whatever. So they give me whatever.
They give you like a Mini Cooper.
But but we didn't do our concession stand segment though. Maybe we can stick around and we can do it. Dylan, you got to go though, right?
I do. Blake, good to see you.
All right. Bill, I'll see you.
Okay.
Bye, D. Welch.
See you, T-Bone.
Yeah, so the Tuscarora 50, the church stand coming up. Concession stand items, Blake, before we go, this, you know, what have you witnessed recently?
Well, I had spicy chicken bites on Saturday night at Knoxville Raceway, which is an absolute must. Knoxville, I'll tell you, the hidden gem there is the taco salad. That is the hidden gem. I don't think people realize that. Chicken salad is also solid at the pit concession stand.
The taco salad. All right. So we are getting the official resident Knoxville Nationals menu from Blake Anderson. Go for the taco salad while you're there.
Can I give some off-campus menu items?
Yeah, sure.
At Knoxville Nationals, if you're coming. The Cattlemen's Association, that's usually the Dingus parking lot, an absolute must. Get a steak sandwich over there. Get your sweet corn. They dip it in the vat of butter. Comes out dripping with butter, Tyler. I know. Brace yourself.
Are you serious?
And then the Hawaiian chicken stand is obviously, that's a multiple time stop. But yeah, the Cattlemen's, that's my go-to. Steak sandwich, the burgers are great over there. I mean, that's what those guys do.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds really good. What did I eat the other day? Oh, I'm going to tell you right now. Hobstadt, right? If you, obviously we didn't race. It rained. It hit a tropical storm hit. That's what I told Richie. I said it was a Midwest tropical storm. Literally, Blake, it was 7 o'clock. It should have been sunny, right? Like it is now. And it looked like it was midnight. Like it was insane how dark it was. Like, oh, it was the craziest storm. But anyways, they bring in a barbecue truck in the front. Have you been there since they brought bringing the barbecue?
No, I haven't been to Hobstadt since 2011.
You guys don't race there, right?
No, we tried.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
Hopefully. But the barbecue truck out front, really, really good. You got to try that at Hobstadt. Awesome.
Noted.
Awesome barbecue. So, all right, Blake, thanks for coming on the show. Obviously, the points are super interesting with the All-Stars right now. 8 points separate. Radeen Racing, Colossal Marshall Racing. That's the battle we're going to watch. Zeb has kind of taken a big point lead here, 80 points over Wyndham. And the driver's points, but the owner's points is where it's at.
You can check our owner points there on our website under the team portal page. And I now know how to update owner points because we got a new website just a couple of weeks ago, refreshed from my race pass that has the owner points capability. So my kind of Knoxville Nationals project for the next week and a half or so is at some point go back and get the car owners tied to these race cars through the start of the season and get owner points updated on the website. So at some point, in the next couple of weeks, we will have owner points on our website that you guys can watch because that's where the $80,000 for the series championship goes. We will still crown the driver champion, though. We will honor a driver if it is something different than the owner points champion.
Your guys' next race is at Outlaw Speedway. What's the date?
Outlaw on the 18th of August, Utica Rome the 19th, and Sealands Grove the 20th, and then we're in the Mitten.
I know. Next weekend. You know, the only problem is it's during SmackDown. So I have to decide what I'm doing.
Got home race.
I really want to go to these races in Michigan. I have been wanting to go to Butler because they've really
changed a lot.
They've made a lot of changes there, and I heard it's impressive. So I want to get down there, not very far from my house.
That Tri-City looks awesome.
I've been to Tri-City. I saw a banger of a race between Tanner English and Ashton Winger there.
Yeah, Summer Nationals.
Yeah, Summer Nationals race. It was really, really good.
It looks awesome.
Super slick. So it's That's kind of far from my house, so maybe I wouldn't go to that one, but
you can make adjustments.
I'm going to SmackDown most likely, but we'll see.
I know. I don't blame you. SmackDown's a great event.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. It's Kokomo. I mean,
all right, Blake.
What do you need to say?
All right. Coming on the show. D Welch is a part timer, I guess. Had to get out of here.
The man's got to go.
Enjoy the time off. Don't work.
Oh, I'll do plenty of work. I got a lot I need to get done.
See you later, bud.
All right. See you, T-Bone.